Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight is Catherine Parkin, PhD. She is Associate Professor of History at Monmouth University, and we're talking about a recent article she wrote, Bring Them Back Alive, Fear and the Macabre in U.S. Automobile Tire Advertising. Catherine, it's a pleasure to talk to you after so long a time.
Looking forward to it.
I am always fascinated by your research, which I really deeply appreciate and also enjoy. In your other two books, you talked about women in food and then about women and driving and attitudes towards women in cars. And this is about women in tires. I have to ask you, how do you come up with these subjects?
Well, I really came across these really outrageous tire ads when I was working on my book on women in cars. And I really wrestled with whether I could address it in the book, but the tire is an independent part of the car. It's mm-hmm. purchased separately, advertised separately, and I decided it needed its own treatment because it has some real depth in terms of the messages that they're sending to us throughout the 20th century and into the 21st.
Let's address that issue first and foremost because of the kind of research that you do. People might go, well, it's just a bunch of ads. Talk to me about why it's important to look at these ads. And in the case of these tire ads, we're talking about something that goes like from the early years, like 1910, almost right up to contemporary times.
Absolutely. I think the advertising that I found is really meaningful. And a friend of mine, when I was talking about this project, said, well, of course the tire ads were scary. Like I wasn't finding anything. There was no discovery there. But I think pausing and reflecting on the messages that were being given is really important. And the idea that a company would use the macabre, would use the fear of death to sell their product. There's really almost no company that does that.
I know. I'm trying to think of another company that would do that, and this graphically and this weirdly, and yes. I can't come up with one.
And really, focused on women and children as the people that would be lost. So it's not just esoteric. Some of the early ads that they were kind of unsure about had a skeleton in the sky kind of, suggesting death. But these are very explicit and threatening that you better bring your family back alive by buying the right tires. I mean, it is not left to chance whether you understand their message or not.
Well, let's go back to the early days, and you talk about this. Things are changing for the tire companies beginning in the 1920s. And it's because there are now more cars than ever being sold, and there's more tire companies than being sold, so there's a tremendous amount of competition. And the prices of tires are coming down. And so there was a lot of pressure on marketing tires. You had to really try to think of some way to market the tires. And they came, for some reason, they came up with this idea of instilling fear, especially involving women and children, in order to sell their tires. Can you trace it back to one ad or one company in particular?
I think that one of the things that's interesting about the tire industry is that they're not really distinguishable. There's so Jesus. Much continuity between them, and that they all glom onto this idea of fear as a way to differentiate, but it's the sameness of the fear that kind of weaves between them. One thing that I think is significant in terms of why they push for this type of advertising is that most of their other ads are incredibly boring, right? They have to tell you how many treads and how much pressure and what size they are and so on, but they're not really that interesting in the sense of drawing in the reader's eye. There's not, text-heavy ads are very common in this early period, and what can you say? What can you write about that will keep a reader kind of brought into your brand? It's very hard to differentiate yourself. And so I think the visual and emotional component of these ads very quickly allows them to try to suggest that buying a General Tire or Kelly Springfield Tire, what have you, would be the answer to protecting your family.
Now, as everything that I've read from you, what happens is on the surface, it looks totally like, okay, well, they're definitely weird ads. But what does that mean? And what it really reveals is how companies, how advertising companies, how society looked at things in a gendered way. And tires is a perfect example of that. And so these advertisements really are reflections of societal values as expressed by corporations, expressed by governments, expressed by people. The target for these tire ads were men. And to address the obvious, why were the targets men?
It's really something unusual that I discovered in looking at women in cars generally, and that is that women had the bulk of the responsibility for caring for the car. So we have a very strong association with men in cars, but the reality was that for many families, the woman did not work outside the home for pay and had the flexibility during the day then to take in the car for repair or to, you know, be able to use the family car to do that. And so in the 20s and 30s, women already have the responsibility for car maintenance in their families. We also know that women were expected to be the principal consumers for their families. Advertising agencies suggest maybe 85% of women were the principal consumers. I think that might be the advertising agency advertising themselves.
Yeah.
But certainly women are significant consumers, and they estimate in one study that women are consuming about 50% of automotive purchases. So what's interesting is you take women who are largely responsible for the care of the car, largely responsible for buying for their family, and then turn to men to make this decision about tires. And I think part of the reason is that tires are dirty. There's nothing kind of homey about them. There's nothing kind of attractive about them. And so the idea that women would be responsible for this is not evident. Well, they rarely appeal to women to buy their cars.
Think about images on TV and in movies right up until like the 90s. When somebody has to change a tire, it's the guy that's changing the tire, not the woman.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think of I was just flashing on all sorts of things that all different images, but even if there's a woman there in the car, it's the guy that's changing the tire, and it's always portrayed as that you need that guy muscle in order to loosen up the lug nuts and to get it done correctly. A Christmas Story, that just is just one example.
Exactly.
Where there's a flat tire in that, she's in the car and she sits in the car. She doesn't get out. She sits in the car while, you know, what's his name? And his father changed the tire. And it's this father-son bonding moment. And nobody ever considers the fact that women would change a tire.
They're really not encouraged to. And at a point where they might have, the industry, the society really, moves toward having other people do it. So calling your AAA your kind of person that, you know, you have a service with your car
talking right to this day. This is like people would be amazed to see a woman change a tire.
Right.
And there's no reason why you should be.
And Goodyear creates an ad with a kind of frame-by-frame shot of a woman changing a tire. They know that they can do it. They learn how to do it.
It's not that it's like that hard.
Yeah. Well, the Girl Scouts used to require it as part of their their wheeled badge that women
Good
girls
for the
get.
Girl Scouts. Good for the Girl Scouts.
but it does fade away. You know, the idea that this is particularly for white women, that femininity would be compromised by soiling their hands, by getting their outfit dirty or what have you.
By flexing a muscle. No, seriously, I'm being absolutely serious. It's like you're down there on your knees and you're given some, you know, edge to get the lug nut off, and there you are.
And exactly.
And it's just, what's upsetting, Catherine, again, this is all these things that come through whenever I read material from you, is to realize that these images, these tropes, are still with us, and they're almost on an unconscious level, so nobody even thinks about them, even if you're somewhat conscious of sexual stereotyping, you don't even think twice about it.
I think that's one of the powerful elements of these ads, is that they're tapping into things that we don't know that we're even carrying with us. One of the ads in 1950 has a bride, and you know the ad is saying, you know, to love, honor, and protect her, and so they take this language of male responsibility and extend it to buying the right tires. I mean, it's not
wow. That's, and but there's something really sort of sleazy about that too, like sticking in there with the wedding vows, like I love, cherish, obey, and a new set of tires.
Well, they do.
Yeah, we're laughing about it, but it was there in the ads. And
it's there in the ads, and it's there with the newborns. You know, the number.
Oh, don't even start that yet. Don't even start the newborns. I want to get back to these ads were obviously put in men's magazines or magazines that were geared to both sexes. Mm-hmm. But there was an interesting thing where some tire companies tried to put ads in women's magazines, but they were still ads that were targeted towards men.
One of the things that advertisers hope is that they could appeal to women's intense desire for safety. And what the research shows is that women and men both valued safety. That's not right. a gendered idea that you want to be safe in your car or in any other capacity. But the advertisers are convinced that this is really the only thing that women care about. And so they're trying to place ads in front of women so that the women can then say, here's the brand I want you to get, that they can give some guidance. And there really is an understanding of women kind of doing this research, this kind of investigation of what should you be buying. There's so many kinds. They all look the same. And what does it mean to buy a particular brand or a no-name kind of brand? And so they're trying to use advertising to create name recognition. And some companies already had it. Goodyear, for example, is making the soles of shoes and, right. you know, rubber boots to right. go over your shoes and things like that we used to have. And so what they're trying to do is to create the name as familiar so that they can plant it in their husband's mind and then send him off to buy them. There's no real expectation that women are being told, buy this tire for yourself. It's being, put forward.
She'll use her womanly wiles to convince her husband to buy that tire.
To buy the right one, exactly.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, it's always a pleasure to talk to her, is Catherine Parkin, PhD. She is Associate Professor of History at Monmouth University, and we're talking about a recent paper of hers, Bring Them Back Alive, Fear and the Macabre in U.S. Automobile Tire Industry. Catherine, is there any place where people could read this paper if they wanted to?
It's available on a journal called the Advertising and Society Quarterly.
Fantastic. Okay, that's all I need to know.
Great.
Now, let's talk about the language they use in these ads. And again, when you read it, it's sort of on one level, it's funny. And then the other level, it's really frightening. The stuff that they would use is just really amazing. When she drives, there isn't anything you won't do to make motoring safe for her and the kiddies. And so it's already the burden's on you. You want to make your wife and kids safe. You have to buy the tire. And then there's a whole description of an accident where the tire fails. And there's all these statistics about blowouts and skidding, killed or injured over 400,000 people a year. So they're throwing those statistics at you. And then it just gets worse. There's a girl in a wheelchair. Gee, I wish I could play again. And she's crippled for life. And I'm to blame because I didn't get the right tires. It's so over the top.
It's so graphic. Yes, it is. I mean, one thing that the industry is dealing with is that there were tremendous numbers of fatalities on the highways. And instead of saying that they were going to make it safer, they actually start to withdraw some of the safety mechanisms like seatbelts and things that they were starting to introduce because they don't want it to look unsafe. And yet the tire industry is absolutely advancing this as a dangerous enterprise without them. And so each company is trying to suggest that they'll be your savior in terms of making the car safe to operate.
Now, there it gets really strange when you start discussing race and these advertisements. The tire companies really have to answer to some of this that you write about in this paper, because they purposely excluded African Americans from their ads on purpose.
Absolutely. They, the Goodyear company in particular, and I did some research in the archive that they have in Akron, and the research that I did there reveals that they were colluding with each other, these major corporations, to avoid placing African Americans. And they're under pressure from civil rights organizations, particularly CORE, exactly, trying to get them to do more than place athletes and singers and kind of popular celebrities, but to really just make African Americans everyday citizens and part of the landscape of advertising. And they understood the power of the normalcy of being American, of being part of the consumer market. And so they were trying to persuade advertisers to include them. And they had an insight, which I appreciate, in terms of why they avoided placing African Americans in print ads. And they noted that by doing so, it became a record that could be scrutinized. And so their inclination was to place African Americans in TV commercials, because without the VCR or, you know, the right. The recording devices that would come, you didn't have a way. You saw it. It was fleeting. And so if you were a racist, you would say, like, oh, that damn company. But it didn't stick in your craw because it was fleeting. It went away. And if you were seeking that, maybe you'd be appeased that they'd finally placed an African-American in an ad in the background. And, you know, they weren't really including them as the principal consumer, but they were part of the landscape. And so Goodyear, like many other companies, tried to avoid doing that. And they did expand to including African-American women in that Goodyear campaign that you mentioned, of the women in the dark and down on the side of the road.
Right.
But they're
and the women are always alone.
Yes.
And the areas are always dark and freaky looking, like they're out in something from, you know, Twin Peaks.
Exactly.
And they're in a dark, and it's always at night or darkness is falling, and they've gotten a flat tire, and it's your fault, the guy, because you didn't get the right tires.
They take their campaign to the extent that they say, you know, Goodyear is there when the man can't be. And in one ad, they say, maybe it's even better that you have Goodyear because the man might be worthless in terms of changing the tire. So they try to flex their muscles on that. But they're really suggesting to the broader audience in magazines like Life magazine and others that women, white women, were deserving of the kind of identity of being a lady, that she would be in her pillbox hat and her skirt and pearls and gloves, white gloves, and that she couldn't possibly change a tire. And so the whole country sees that message, that Goodyear will protect her feminine identity. And it's only in magazines like Ebony that you see African American women in the same kinds of, you know, ladylike outfits, but they're the only ones, African Americans reading Ebony, are the only ones getting that message that they're deserving of protection too.
What's interesting is there are a few ads where men are involved in having flat tires. And copy that you describe in the article, it's nothing to do with fear whatsoever. It's got to do with the fact that they're losing time, they lose their temper, and maybe lose money. As a matter of fact, that's a quote from one of the ad copies of that. So it's a problem, but it's a problem of them doing business.
Exactly. This idea that it's an inconvenience to men, but a kind of a vulnerability to women is a very clear contrast. They actually don't do a ton of ads with men in terms of them even having that inconvenience, that they're it doesn't play as well emotionally, it's this emphasis on fear that drives so much of the advertising, that they're not thinking about themselves as much as they're thinking about their other job of caring for their family. But the idea that businessmen would be kind of inconvenienced, put out. And, you know, the example you use from the Christmas story is a good one of, you know, the woman's in the car while he's jacking it up and trying to do these things, that women are accessories. They're either holding the umbrella or the flashlight
right.
while he changes the tire, and that that men alone are not in kind of in a situation that creates a crisis for them. It's annoying. It's frustrating, but it's not a huge motivation to find the right tire in this. It doesn't have the same kind of pull.
And this brings us to babies and tire ads, which after reading all that, you thought, how could it get any weirder? Well, there was a whole trend of sticking babies and children in tire ads, and where they're described as things like precious cargo. And so it's the whole guilt trip about, you know, you want your best for your kids. That includes the best tires. And even if it's more expensive, aren't you willing to spend that money on your children?
There's one incredible ad where a father's holding his infant son up in the air, and he says, "You're the reason that I bought these, that we got these great tires." But his wife and his daughter are in the car. I mean, so the idea that boys in particular are driving this need to care for children, it is babies broadly as a category, but as you analyze them, the overwhelming number of the babies that are identified are boys. And I think there's something about the connection of father to son.
Well, the Christmas story is the classic thing where it's the son that learns firsthand from the father how to change the tire.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, you know, one of the most upsetting is the young boy. He looks like he's about, you know, 17 years old, and it says it would take 17 years to replace him.
Oh, wow.
And the
wow.
idea that your son, that you've invested all of this time and energy and love into, would be killed because you bought the wrong tires. The idea that you were going to replace him, you know, is really not. It's not a rational feeling, right? They're trying to tap into the impossibility of losing this infant boy, this teenage boy. So I think the power of male authority is not just the father making this purchasing decision, but the son being the motivation, both in convincing his parents to buy this tire, and the ads give boys a great deal of male authority. They're reading about tires and Popular Mechanics and other kinds
right.
of boys' life kind of magazines, and so there's an expectation that boys know these things, even though they're 13 years old or whatever. There's this expectation that male authority is from you know, baby to senior citizen.
It's interesting because one tire company even took a kid to be their logo. I think it's Fisk Tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember this as a kid. It's a young baby with a candle holding a tire, and that became the symbol of the tire company.
Well, and in today's day and age, he was holding a candle?
Well, I know.
Well,
he was looking for an honest man. one of the funniest things I read in this is the quote by Bob Garfield, who's an ad critic, because he was writing about the Michelin's 1980s use of babies and tires to sell, and he was really for it. He was just like, what a great idea that they did, but it was the same old thing. But he described kids as the adorable little road hazards.
Well, I think that's something that many people grew up with, is the idea of the Michelin baby and the, you know, the wheels are kind of going around them and so on.
And they're riding on the wheel, like on
yes.
the yeah, like it's a little flying saucer or a saucer sled.
And there's a lot riding on your tires.
Right.
You know, the double on.
It's just the same story.
Really.
It's the same copy, just done for a more contemporary time.
Exactly. But I think the idea that babies are kind of the reason. I think it's a time where people start to imagine, oh, do we have the right home? Do we have the right car? You're not just taking care of yourself now, but you have this greater responsibility. And so I think they're trying to tap into the idea, as they do in one ad, where they're presenting a mother-to-be with a set of tires at her baby shower. This idea that this is going to be the ideal gift to ensure her safety, that she's got the right bassinet and she's got the right clothing, and she'll be able to cart the kid around in safety.
Now, we're completely out of time. We didn't have time to even talk about sex and tires, because as I mentioned before, I always go and research your ads. And there was a whole set of them using sexual women to sell tires. I think the most famous example is Pirelli, who actually would put out yearly calendars of scantily clad women to sell their tires. But that was actually a trope for a lot of companies to sell tires. So I didn't even know where to begin with that. That's like, seems like that's going to be a whole other paper.
I'm hoping.
But we're completely out of time. My returning guest tonight has been Catherine Parkin, PhD. She's an associate professor of history at Monmouth University. She's written two other great books that I strongly recommend, Women at the Wheel and Food is Love, which are much more, are longer pieces than this and much more involved and really have a lot about them. But we've been talking about her paper, Bring Them Back Alive! ! It's sort of a parody there of Frank Buck. Fear and the Macabre in U.S. Automobile Tire Advertising. Fantastic paper. Catherine, so much. Real pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. It was a great time.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.